You are listening to the Young Black Travelers Podcast. Black voices chatting on experiential travel, dedicated to creating a global community of travelers. Be bold, be inspired, be spontaneous. We are YBT.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We are back as Young Black Travelers. This is season 8. We are talking to Donald. We're going to talk about his South Africa experience and any other travel that he wants to tell us about. Tell us, Donald, about yourself. Who are you?
So good afternoon. Good evening, everyone. Shout out to this amazing podcast, Young Black Travelers. My name is Donald Garner, and Dr. Donald Garner, if you want to be formal, but you know, for the purposes of today, we're going to do Donald. I am a native of Houston, Texas, and I grew up on a big, big, beautiful farm in Central Florida, in a city called Ocala, Florida, which is about 40 minutes from Orlando. So shout out to Texas and Florida. And ooh, I've been in New York City for 13 years. And so I am the biggest lover of New York City, the Big Apple. I traded it in, traded my big country lifestyle for the Big Apple. So again, just excited to be here today and have this conversation with you about my travel to South Africa and everything else in between.
Yes, we're excited. I actually have family in Ocala, actually. So that's, yeah. And I feel like most people don't really say they live in Ocala. But you're here now.
I'm here.
Welcome to New York City.
That is very cool.
Yes. So thank you for introducing yourself. So can you just tell us a little bit about where did your love of travel begin?
So interestingly enough, growing up in the South, especially in Florida, you know, we didn't put emphasis on family vacations because everybody, Simone, came to the beach, right? I grew up about 45 minutes near Daytona Beach. So, you know, we were always in the place where everybody, quote unquote, wanted to be. And so I went through, you know, my childhood, young adulthood, you know, went to college in Tallahassee, Florida. I worked about 5 years after undergrad before moving to New York City. So all that being said, most of my, you know, life and then up until my mid-20s, I never took vacations. Mm-hmm. I didn't travel. And it was in 2012 while at lunch with my coworkers. It was August of 2012. Everybody, Simone, was talking about where they were going on vacation, Brazil, this, that place. And everyone assumed that, you know, I had traveled. I was getting my PhD and I've done this and I've done that. So I decided to you know, really just burst out, you know, burst the bubble, you know, in the room. And I was like, I've never traveled out the country. And so my college was like a movie, right? Everybody stood still and they were like, okay, never say that again.
Don't say it out loud.
You're too educated for you not to have traveled. And literally the very next week, one of my colleagues walked me to where I needed to fill out my passport. You know, and it took about, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. And it would be another 2 years after that that I finally took my first trip to Jamaica. So,
I'm from Jamaica. Yay. So, hello. Yes, awesome.
It took a long time before I actually, you know, traveled as a young adult, as a young professional. So I'm a newbie, if you will. And, you know, I've made it a priority, you know, nearly every year since that first trip to go out the country. So I'm a pretty...
And I love that you said that. Yeah, because sometimes I think you sharing that you started traveling as an older adult, I think is very inspiring for a lot of people who feel like, oh no, I don't have time, or it's, I'm out of it, but it's never too late to kind of start and to explore. And I also think too, like, even though you might not have had abroad experiences, right? Being a traveler is also local and exploring your community and what is around right? So I feel like you're always a traveler. Mm-hmm. It's just now you are you're expanding your boundaries of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that's listening, you know, get that passport if you are 25, 30, 40.
Yeah.
Wherever you are in your stage of life, it's never too late to kind of go out and do that.
Absolutely.
So I love that. So what did you love most about your first experience? You said it was Jamaica. Like, how did that open your eyes and broaden your experience?
The same feeling that I had, and I haven't, you know, experienced this with a lot of other spots, but the same feeling that I had when I came to New York City for the first time at 21 happened to me when I arrived to Jamaica. It was for my sister's wedding from college. Mm-hmm. And I had this just beautiful chill, you know, come all over my body. And I wasn't that surprised because nearly every person that I love, you know, I have a adopted Jamaican mama, you know, here in New York City, most of my male friends, you know, even female friends are from Jamaica.
Yes. So
even when I was in college, I remember being asked, you know, was I from Jamaica? Because I had a lot of jobs, right? So I've always been associated in some way with that place. And so it was this beautiful cultural moment of emotion that I had. And I just remember just looking around and seeing another subset of my people, right? That I had never seen, known about. And it was just one of those eye-opening moments that, yes, the world is bigger than Houston, Florida, and wherever else, you know, you've been in the States. So it's a powerful change.
No. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you had some good food, of course,
We snuck away at least one night, you know, to get the real jerk, you know, but it was mostly, you know, resort food while I was there for the wedding.
Yeah. Okay. That means you have to go back. You got to go back. Well, we're going to go on a short break, and then we're going to come right back, and we're going to delve right into our conversation.
Awesome.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We are here talking with Donald, and I am so excited to dive right into our conversation as he shared his experience with us about his recent trip to South Africa. So can you tell us a little bit about that experience? Why South Africa?
So I always knew at some point in my life I was going to go to Africa. I missed the boat in 2019 when, you know, everybody went to Ghana. When it was the road to return or something. I forget the movement, what it was called, but I was slated to go, just things did not work out. And so as fate would have it, one of my besties, Dr. Rabiatu Berry, shout out to her, one of my favorite people from Florida State University, and she was turning 40. And so, you know, a bunch of us was put on the email thread, you know, and when I got the email, I knew, hey, that was going to be my first opportunity to finally go to the motherland. So that was, again, this past December from the 11th until about the 23rd.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you had a good amount of time.
I was gone some more.
He was gone. I hear that. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the cultural activities that you experience and like the food and any of the recommendations you might have for other people?
So our trip was unique in the sense that, you know, it was highly curated, right? So my friend, my bestie, really made sure that, you know, we had a intimate experience, you know, with so a lot. So whereas we would have gone to so many different restaurants every day, we had a, you know, built-in chef. And so, and Simone, I was trying to ask beforehand, you know, some of the foods that the chef, you know, cooked for us. I wasn't able to get that information. But we did go out. So I spent the first 4 to 5 days in Johannesburg, and then we flew over to Cape Town. So while in Joburg, in terms of like, you know, cultural experiences and foods, again, most of that was with our chef. But in terms of like, you know, cultural exchanges, we went to the Apartheid Museum, which was a riveting, you know, sobering experience. We went out second night to a club called Cohiba. Definitely highly recommended. They played a nice mix of, you know, American music and, you know, Afrobeat, you know, type vibe, which is, you know, really, really in. I mean, you know, wasn't a thing really, you know, here in America like it has been over the past few years, couple of years. So I love that experience of partying, you know, with my brothers and sisters, you know, from Africa. So, and then we also had a tour guide take us to Soweto. Mm-hmm. And while there, we were accompanied by someone who was from that community. And one of the interesting fun facts that I would love to share is that this was a place that had been sequestered, cut off from the local government. And they were, you know, they've been without lights and without a lot of, you know, adequate housing and just, you know, a lot of the amenities that, again, you know, people of privilege are able to experience on an everyday basis. And and one of the highlights that the brother was telling us is that when outsiders or people come into their community, instead of them having the children, young adults, beg for money, they teach them how to draw. And so they'll come up to a visitor and show them their drawings and at least, you know, ask for money, you know, for an exchange of their art. And so we were we were presented, you know, with that experience by a lot of the little ones. And I thought that was powerful. I'm glad that he gave that context to us as we were, you know, purchasing their art that they were drawing and so on and so forth. So that was a beautiful, beautiful moment. Going to Soweto, there was another school that we went to, the name escapes me, and they have been featured on the Oprah show for just, again, graduating a lot of, you know.
The girls?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It wasn't an all-girls school. It was a community-based school within that. And we actually stumbled across it. And so that was a powerful, unexpected moment. Johannesburg, you know, gave us, you know, it gave us a very beautiful, grounded experience. Went to the malls and saw all of these different statues of, you know, Nelson Mandela. He's just, you know, ingrained, you know, embedded into the fiber, the DNA, you know, of the country. And then we, you know, transitioned over, flew over into Cape Town for the latter part of our stay. And Cape Town, you know, what was surprising about Cape Town, you know, was the number of white people that I saw there. And Kimona, I'm not the most educated person about who lives where and you know, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. I just wasn't expecting to see that many white people. I just wasn't. And I forgot that white people were all over the place.
And especially South Africa.
Mm-hmm. I just forgot until I got there. And so Cape Town, of course, is given, it's given like, you know, it's giving you the beaches and the mountains and all of that scenery that, you know, would suggest and make you feel very confident that God created, started there to create the world, right? Like, I was totally convinced. So while in Cape Town, of course, we went to Table Mountain. If time permitted, I would tell you how I got bamboozled by my people to do that, because I do not play that with heights. I just thought we were going to go and
tell us about that. What is the Table Mountain, you said?
Yes, Table Mountain. So Table Mountain is one of the highest mountains, you know, in Cape Town. And we rode up there on a cable car.
Okay.
And so literally, Simone, we were by the time we got all the way up to the mountain, we were 4,500 feet above sea level. I honestly thought I was going to die. I honestly did, because I am I'm just deathly afraid of heights.
Okay,
But one of my other friends who was also afraid of heights, she just was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And of course, I'm in Africa, so I'm like, I got to do it. So
of course.
While seeing and experiencing Table Mountain, I also conquered the fear. So that was
very
powerful. I would also say just some more highlights, cultural, you know, highlights that we went to. There's a restaurant that is very popular there called Gold. Gold Restaurant. Highly, highly recommended. There's drumming and singing, eating. I had this Zanzibar tomato soup that was really good. Congo chicken. All of the meats were so flavorful that, I mean, I just
love it.
Can't go wrong on that. Fish soup. Went to Camps Bay Ocean, and we had, you know, this beautiful boat cruise on the Indian Ocean, you know, intimate one for Rabbi. And just to be in Cape Town on the ocean, you know, looking at all of the vibes and scenes, I mean, there was just too many moments where, you know, my breath was taken away. We would have had, like I said, more recommendations to share food-wise if I had our chef.
But
we did the wine tour. I even forgot to share that. Did the wine tour in Joburg as well as Safari. You know, you can't go there without.
Of course. You
know, not going to. And quick, funny story. Rabbi told me to tell this podcast how I almost killed everybody. Because I was initially going to wear red because I didn't read the email.
Okay.
And of course, you got to wear bland colors. I was actually on the road to, you know, having all of us be destroyed by the whoever, the lion.
Oh, so they see the color red is what they're attracted to.
Yeah, red. Any loud color, you are not.
Okay.
You're not recommended. So you got to keep it, you know, beiges. Tans, that type of thing.
Okay, gotta keep it neutral.
Neutral color.
And so listeners, read your email. For whoever's planning your trip, read the email. Yes, definitely. Did you get to change?
Yeah, so I'm glad we were all having just active conversations. And I was like, I forget how it came up, but it came up that the night before, two nights before, that I didn't have what I had. So we were able to go to the mall and, you know, I had what I was supposed to have.
All right. We want to be able to just go and see the animals and come back.
Come back in one piece.
Exactly. We don't want to see you on world news and whatnot. That would have been a situation. But I really love that. And it seemed like the tour kind of gave you a well-rounded kind of experience to see different parts of South Africa. And so my question for you also is, as a person of color, as a Black man, how did you experience South Africa in your identity? And did you feel like that ever played a role in how you interacted with people, or just in general, like, did that consciousness ever come to you while you were there, and how did that affect your experience?
I think that's an excellent question. The best way I can describe that feeling that I had while there is like, you know, going to a family reunion. And going to one of my many family reunions that you get to the place and you all know that you're cousins, you know, that you're related, but you still don't have any connection beyond just the knowledge that you're related. So there's usually in the room that awkwardness, that tension of And so what I encountered as a Black man was never a feeling of hate. It was just this profound, like, sadness and this curiosity, like, I want to know you, but I just don't have enough time right now to get to know you. I know we're related. I know we're cousins, you know.
Yeah.
Our lives is just so different at this point. We just have to keep it moving. So it was a lot of, it was about 40%. I got about 60% of that, you know, from the everyday exchanges. Again, nothing bad, but it was just like these deep stares, like, hey, cousin.
Yeah.
You know.
That head nod. Did you do the head nod?
Head nod. See? You know, so they know. Yeah. So we're not, you know, they know we're not strangers, not stranger danger.
Right.
And then it was about 40% of welcome home, brother. You know, can't wait for you to come back. So glad you finally made it.
See, yes.
So it was it made me happy and sad, you know, that I was experiencing both of those emotions almost at the same time every day.
Yeah, I could imagine that return, especially in seeing your people, essentially, as you said it, that family feeling, like a long lost cousin or something like that. Yeah, that's really awesome. So do you have plans to kind of go back either to South Africa or the continent?
Absolutely. I had said to myself and to others that, you know, I would love for most of my travels to be in Africa. I'd rather spend a lot of my time investing my money and resources into the motherland. So I do think this December trip might be a tradition of mine. So yes, I think I see me doing maybe East Africa next, perhaps. And so yes, probably within if it's not December, it'll definitely be, you know, in 2024 that I'll make another pilgrimage to.
That you make it. I love it. Love it. And so this is also a question that I just thought of as you're speaking about, like, that family feeling. And, you know, like in the U.S. with race relations, right, and discriminatory practices and policies against Black and brown people in this country. And so did you see those type of parallels when you were in South Africa?
I did. Well, yes. I mean, I think about when I was in Joburg and, you know, riding around, I could still see, you know, our brothers and sisters in abject poverty, you know, and again, especially having, when you speak to your Uber drivers and even that person that was the brother that was our tour guide, you know, he gave us fresh downloads about, you know, how the people are still, you know, experiencing, you know, white supremacy and there's, you know, a bunch of governmental collusion there that even turns our people against each other, right? So the residue of apartheid is still there, you know,
right,
in South Africa. And so I could see it, you know, very quickly. I also asked a lot of questions about why there were so many KFCs there. And one of the Uber drivers gave us another download, like that was, you know, owned by a lot of Chinese people and a lot of Indian people. And so again, this notion that there is colonization, you know, happening when it comes down to business and entrepreneurship and how the continent is being stimulated economically, we don't have fair and accurate representation, you know, of how to also be a part of that wave, right? So it was no different from here in the United States, where we know, you know, 1%, you know, who are all white men mostly, they have the lion's share of the wealth, you know, in the United States. And so it was not different, you know, so much in terms of the little that I heard.
Was able to experience. Yes, and I think that's what kind of travel does in a sense. You make those correlations and kind of see like one story or experience is not necessarily unique to a specific place, but it kind of like shows those commonalities, right? And I think also just bring people together, right? Like you're experiencing the same type of struggle. Now, how can we build?
Yes.
How can we get stronger, right? Yes. Because that's the idea, is where there's power in strength, there's power in numbers. And in education, if I know that you're also experiencing that, now we can kind of move forward.
Yes.
And what we're going to do about it.
Agreed.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. Thank you, Donald. I know we delved deep and did light as well. And so we're going to be back. Thank you all. Young Black Travelers. I'm Simone and I'm here with Donald. And he gave us, he shared his experience about being in South Africa. And I hope it's just inspiring you all to kind of just get out and travel as well. And maybe even go as well to South Africa.
Yeah.
And so Donald, like I got my drink here with me. Where's your drink, right? Where's your drink?
I left it, Simone. I'm slacking.
You're slacking. Come on.
I know.
We're here talking. We're having a conversation. You have to have your drink the next time.
I have it next time, I promise.
Sounds good. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. So we're going to get right back into our conversation. And I hope you guys have just been making notes of different places that Donald shared with us to go to. And one of that restaurant, I think it's called Gold, you said?
Yes.
Yes. So I hope you guys have been taking your notes. And so I just want to, before we get into our closing conversation, I want to just shout out on IG. They are also, they're a travel company and they are at capetown.travel. And they have like just rich pictures about the culture and the community and different places that you can go. So check them out on Instagram and tag us and just let them know that we sent you over there, as we like to promote and we like to celebrate what other people are doing as well. And so we're going to do a quick game. It's called True or False. And one of them Donald actually gave you the answer. You gave the answer already, so you'll probably get this right, Donald. We'll dive right in. Okay, so true or false? South Africa is the only country in the world with three capital cities.
True.
Can you name them?
No.
It is true. It's true. Okay. You know it's true? Your tour guide told you?
No, somebody in our group there who had been, she had been like three times.
Okay. Well, I don't want to butcher the names, but I'm going to say try them anyway. So it's Pretoria, Cape Town, and Bloemfontein. Yes, those are the three capital cities. All right, next one. The world's second heart transplant was completed in Cape Town, South Africa.
I'm going to say true, because I think everything was originated there. It's a trailblazer question. I'm going to say true.
It is true. It is very true. It was in 1968. All right. So tell me this one. You're on a roll so far. Okay. You can take a leap on the world's highest bungee jump in South Africa.
False.
What do you think it is? It is false.
I don't know. I just don't feel like I don't feel like it was high enough. I didn't feel like there was anywhere. I felt like there's just higher places.
Yeah.
For that to happen.
It is. Yeah. It's in China.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I want to trip you up somewhere. All right. South Africa has 5 official languages.
This is one of those things where you just kind of do C. and I really don't know. But because it's so, I want you to at least judge my context clues that I'm trying to, you know, my inference skills, if you will.
You can tell, like, you just all about the school, like you've been to.
I mean, just given that it's just so, you know, rich with diversity and dialect, I have to say yes.
That is 5. Okay, it is not.
What?
It's false. They have 11.
What?
Even more. Yes, they have 11 official languages.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Right?
I should have said
I love it.
It was enough. But yeah, beautiful.
It's a great rationale you had, though, but it was a little bit more. And of course, the last one was about South Africa has wineries, and you did share with us already that you got to explore.
Y'all
got to
do that.
A few. Yep. How was the wine? Next time you bring the wine on, okay?
We were lit the entire day. We were so bougie and carefree that day. Weather was beautiful. They had, you know, just all the appropriate pastries to go with the different wines that we tasted. Whole nine. That was one of our favorite days.
Oh, I love that. It seemed pretty chill.
It was.
Was the wine good?
It was top. See, it's one of those things, Simone, when you, and this is with anything, you know, once you've had the best of something, it's hard to do that counterfeit stuff.
I hear that. Yep.
I'm a newbie also when it comes out to wine and that type of thing. So, you know, I went from, you know, a little dab here and there to like having been fully immersed in the best of the best. So I don't know the name.
I love it.
I'm not that guy. But I still love me a good wine situation. So, you know, I'll drink it, but don't ask me yet to know the name because I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet. Okay, you're working on it.
I'm working on that.
Okay, that's good. So yes, go South Africa for the wine. All right. Yes, I love it.
Fortune.
I love it. And so I will, I have just two more questions for you. about, so I know you started your journey in traveling and you recently went to South Africa and other places that you go to. Can you tell us, like, what are some of the first things you do when you enter a new country?
The very first thing I always find myself doing is going to the gift shop and seeing, like, what are the artifacts that define that particular country, right? Is it a bird? Is it a food? What is it? And usually when I go into the gift shop, I can get a good sense of, you know, what those artifacts and those symbols are. So that literally is the very first thing I always do, you know, without the, almost like this subconscious, you know, action that takes me, you know, straight to the gift shop when I get, you know, off the airport.
Yeah.
From the airport.
I love that. I hear you. Okay. The first thing I do is get a map, actually, and I start laying out where I want to go, because I love taking public transportation when I go to a new country. So I'm learning it, like, on the first day of which train or bus I'm going to take to go somewhere.
I like it.
So I hear you. Yes. And so my last question for you. So to date, what has been your fondest memory of a travel experience that you have had?
So far, I would say taking my first solo trip, which was last year when I turned 39, I went to Lisbon. And Portugal, I could almost see me moving there. I have a place there. It was a really mini New York City. I was very impressed with myself to take a trip, because I'm usually not the planner when it comes down to, you know, the trips. Well, you know, when I take all my trips and group trips that I've been on so far, so I'm the guy that pays the money, goes up on time,
and don't read emails and show up.
And I don't read emails. I just show up, right? I'm really that guy.
Okay.
So knowing I had to do these things for myself was already a feat, right? So just being responsible around where to stay, you know, how to navigate, you know, was definitely, you know, a big adult, you know, move for me. What was so great, Simone, is that I had so many people in my corner who had already gone to Lisbon that I just did everything people told me to do.
There you go.
So it was divine. It was lovely. Every place, every restaurant, every historical monument that was recommended for me to go see, I did it. So I would say so far, that was the fondest, you know, travel experience for me, because again, I did it myself. And I had a lot of fun with me.
That's some type of my best travel as well.
Take that solo trip. Take it.
Yes, take that solo trip. It's worth it.
It's worth it.
You get to learn about yourself. You do what you want when you want to do it.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I agree. So solo trips for summer 2023.
Yes, there and we beyond. Go. Absolutely.
And beyond. Yes. And beyond. Well, it was so good speaking to you, Donald, and for joining us. I appreciate it that you took the time out and talking to us about your travel experience to South Africa and all the other places that you have been able to go as well. And so thank you. Did you have any final words for our guests?
I would just say, you know, take the time out, and your life is not that busy for us to not expand our horizons I strongly recommend how travel can, it will unlock so many portals in your mind and your heart and your soul that you don't even realize will be unlocked, and that you don't even realize you need it to inform how you do some parts of your life and live some parts of your life. So I just say, do it because you just don't know, and you'll be beautifully surprised at how traveling will speak to your soul and to guide you in, you know, future direction. So travel, travel, travel as best as you possibly can, and as much as
you possibly can. Absolutely. I love that. Yes. Travel, travel, travel. Well said. And I just want to remind our listeners to support our podcast by becoming a monthly contributor to continue to hear great stories like the one that was shared today by Donald. And you can simply go to anchor.fm/youngblacktravelers. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Young Black Travelers, for notifications to upcoming podcasts. And you can follow us on all social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Young Black Travelers, Instagram, Young Black Travelers Blog, Twitter, YBT Blog, and our website, www.youngblacktravelers.com. And again, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Donald. Be mindful of you, yourself, and your travels. Be safe, everyone, and goodbye.
Goodbye.